You're listening to If You Only Knew with Dr. Debbie Strohman. I am so excited to be able to spend time with Mr. Chi Wogu, who recently graduated from UNC Chapel Hill, received his MBA, and over the past year, he's actually been working, guiding young people on campus, plus being my right arm and lead arm for the Basketball Analytics Summit. How are you doing today, Chi?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me, Dr. Strohman.
Absolutely. I'm excited to hear from you. Tell us where it all started and how you got your interest in entrepreneurship.
It's a good question. I would say, one, being an immigrant from Nigeria and having a very big family, I learned to be resourceful at a young age. So I have six siblings. And growing up, only my mom was working a full-time job. So when I was 11 years old, I took my first job as a paperboy for the New York Daily News.
Wow. So you grew up in New York?
I grew up in the Bronx.
Okay. And what number child are we?
So I am the fifth child.
Okay.
The first boy.
Okay.
So my full name is Chi Jioge.
Yes.
Which means time is in God's hands.
Well, that's certainly true.
Because my parents always wanted a boy, and they had four girls initially.
Oh.
And then finally, the fifth time along, the boy came.
Okay.
So that's where my name comes from. So I think for me, being from a large family, I was trying to pull my weight, and so I did that by being a paper boy, and I was 11 years old. And that job was what got me, I think, to really understand what it means to be independent, what it means to be consistent with your work, what it means to really put the customer first. I learned that I was paid based on tips, and so if I wanted more tips, I had to make sure that I took the newspaper and placed the newspaper right at the doormat, had the newspaper there before my customers woke up in the morning. So once they woke up, they'll come out, see the paper, and be happy, right? If my customer was happy, they gave me a tip. So I think that's a very fundamental lesson in entrepreneurship, right? Keep the customer happy, be consistent, and the rest will work out for itself. So I think that was really where I began thinking about how I can take my skills and my talents from that point, be my own person and be independent.
That's interesting. I don't want to jump too far ahead with sports, but it reminds me of that, the way minor league baseball jobs or internships are critical in terms of gaining a lot of skills to prepare you for whatever position you end up in with sports.
Yeah.
It's so important to consider minor league baseball because you end up doing the mascot, you end up cleaning up, you can do the marketing, the ticketing, just anything. And the paper boy, having that route seems to be that fundamental position that a lot of entrepreneurs had, something where you had to go out and figure it out and take care of people.
Yeah, I mean, so I think at that age, most people don't hire you being 11, 12 years old, right? But the papers, they know they need people to go out there and be on the routes. I think people who are entrepreneurship-minded saw an opportunity in that space and definitely have used that. So it makes sense.
Now, did you have any particular teachers or mentors that influenced your career?
I've had lots. I mean, I think for me, a big part of what I do now is based on the fact that mentors have helped me along the path. If I had to pinpoint one from my earliest days, it was probably my fifth grade teacher, Mrs. Bailey. She was a very strong Black woman. And she did her best to let me know that it's okay being myself. Because I think back then, as a young kid, I was teased a lot for being an immigrant, for having nappy hair, for having a wide nose, for not having the newest clothes or shoes. And she always told me that, she called me, back then I was called Chichogi. It's one of my main nicknames. She always told me that it's okay to be who you are. And don't let people's opinion of you take you away from trying to achieve what you want to achieve. Don't be someone who's easily swayed by what people tell you. I think that's helped me a lot because I think I've kind of carved my own path in life. And sometimes some folks will say, why not go this route or why not do this and that? But I know that I'm being true to myself. And that comes a lot from what she taught me back then. Even like in middle school, I think a big reason why we'll talk about this more, a big reason why I work with middle school kids is because I know that in middle school you can be influenced by older kids who are in high school and trying to be like them. And that's where sometimes trouble comes along. because the people who you put in your circle are the ones who really, I think, mold you as an individual. And so I kept away from lots of people who were troublesome in middle school and really found a very core group of friends who are like me, who are ambitious, who love sports, who just love talking about basketball and things like that, right? And those people are still in my life now, funny enough. I think those lessons from fifth grade from Miss Bailey helped to calm.
That's wonderful.
Form that base.
I know a lot of young people have moved away from Facebook, but mm-hmm. for my generation, it's been a great way for me and others to connect with people from our elementary and junior high school days.
Yeah.
So certainly we create, we build, and we nurture new relationships, but it is fun to connect with people who remember you when you were just a little kid running around.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I think it's funny seeing those same people have the same core characteristics that they had back then.
Yes.
Right? And it kind of speaks to people's energy. I think we attract people with similar energy as we do, right? I think that's very important, and knowing that if you have bad energy around you, that's what you manifest as well.
So I know you have a lot going on in your life. Yeah. What do you do to escape from the sports world? I know you're still playing basketball. Yeah. We haven't had a chance to play with against each other, but I'm glad I've retired now. I think you might even dunk on me.
No, not anymore. I'm past that point in my life.
But any favorite TV shows or books that you read, what do you do to escape?
Yeah, I'm definitely a huge TV show buff. Like many people, I'm a huge Game of Thrones fan.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah. I'm a huge, huge Game of Thrones fan, I think. I think just the way in which the show is put together, from costumes to makeup to the storyline to the actors and actresses to the music, is just all so well done.
Well, I was told to watch it.
Yeah.
And I was late. And I finally watched I watched a part of the first episode. Uh-huh. I was so scared, I turned it off and never turned it on again. I was told it's actually not that scary.
Yeah,
or is it just
yeah.
gory and nasty?
It's gory and nasty, yeah.
Oh.
Not for you?
No.
No, it's a great story, and people have said the books are even better, but the books are huge.
Oh.
So I like to just watch the show and sit on my couch, just let my mind escape. When I was younger, I used to love to write. I used to write poetry, actually, when I was younger.
Hmm.
Kinda, I think that was my way of escaping. I was really a young immigrant kid, right, and trying to, I think, tell my story through writing was a big part of my life, and so I think I appreciate good stories which are told via TV shows.
Let's take a break here. You're listening to If You Only Knew with Dr. Debbie Stroman. We're talking to Mr. Chi Wogu on 97.9 The Hill. You're back. You're listening to If You Only Knew with Dr. Debbie Stroman, and I'm very happy to have in our studio Mr. Chi Wogu, who is an entrepreneur and a very, very wonderful counselor and guide to many UNC undergraduate students in the entrepreneurship space. Chi, tell me more about your particular company, your mission, and what things might be on your mind to build in the future.
Mm-hmm. So my company is called GameFlow. GAMFLO. And the mission is really to engage students around data and data science through a passion point that they might have. And so the first passion point we engage them through is sports, particularly basketball. And the idea is that, we know, like me growing up, right, I was a kid who was in the back of the classroom just quizzing my friends on basketball stats left and right, and reading the newspaper to kind of figure out how the Knicks played the night before and who was top 10 in rebounds and points and assists. And for me, I learned a lot around math through just being a basketball fan.
So are you one of those super quants?
I mean, that's what you call me sometimes.
Yes.
But I mean, I deny it, but I guess I am a super quant. People have said that I am a super quant as well. But I mean, I think there are lots of people out there who are like me, who just feel more comfortable talking about things through something which they really enjoy, being basketball. And so it is that we're trying to help students connect the dots, say, okay, you spend time talking about Steph Curry and Kyrie Irving, who's the best basketball player, and LeBron James is average, and all this kind of stuff. Those are things which are tied to data and tied to math. So it's trying to help them connect those dots and also feel more comfortable using data tools like making a graph in Excel, or helping them understand how to created data visualization in Tableau, right? Really skills which for them will carry forward in life beyond middle school and high school. We want to have those students feel more comfortable using that in a very, I guess, safer way for them.
Well, there's no doubt there is math in sports. And in particular, I think about, you know, being a basketball player, thinking about angles. And as a point guard, when I watch the game, I'm just amazed at how you can have incredible athletic skills. But if you can't see angles and understand how the entry pass should go into the post, and one of the biggest no-nos is when you see point guards who try to enter to the post from the free throw line or from the top of the key. And just mathematically, that's not a good option versus taking the ball over to the wing or foul line extended. So a lot of math indeed. Now, what age group are you working with your company?
We're working right now with middle school students. And to your point about the angles, right? Right now we do workshops in middle schools. And the workshops are kind of geared for after school programs or summer camps. And we have three workshop offerings. And one is geometry. And to your point, we do a lot around helping students understand, okay, this angle, right, is a way to make an entry pass, or here's the triangle offense, right, and helping them kind of see those things but connect that to geometry. We do a workshop where we have students decide how to guard Stephen Curry. And that's done by having them watch him take about 20 shots, a sample size of 20 shots. Then from that point, they plot those shots on a basketball court. And then make a table from like left, middle, right, and say, okay, based on this data, which way do I force him if I defend him? And that's all based on how he shoots, right, from left, middle, right. And the students love that because for them, they just love watching basketball. Two, they enjoy the fact that they get to create something which is kind of customized graph, which they can make their own colors and add their own titles and add a graphic, a picture of Steph Curry, right? And I've done this workshop probably 5 times now, and we always get feedback from the students. And I'm always shocked. Well, I'm not shocked, but I'm happy that they say that the part they enjoy the most was making the graph.
Excellent.
Right? So the learning aspect of what they've done is what they is their takeaway. Not watching Steph Curry take shots, which is really fun, but making a customized bar graph or a line graph which shows how to guard him, something which they really enjoy doing for the first or second time in their life.
Well, I'm getting excited just listening to you. I think I'd like to take that course. But I was, I'm not a super quant, but I guess I would be considered a nerd. But just the excitement of thinking back when I was younger and making graphs and using the graph paper. And to this day, I love mechanical pencils. But that idea where you can take a sport and actually get them, and some of them don't even realize the learning that's taking place. And all of a sudden, now when they go to another math class, they won't be so afraid or hesitant when the teacher says, now we're going to do bar graphs or we're going to learn how to plot. So that's a wonderful application.
I remember I did one workshop, and I like to observe the students before I start the workshop and kind of see how they interact, who's very talkative, who's quiet, who's a so-called troublemaker, the class clown. And from that point, see how they react to the workshop. I remember I did one, and the class clown who was messing around the whole time, just talking, kind of causing trouble. At one point, he said, this is fun. This is not learning. I'm like, exactly. This is exactly where it is, right? And I remember we did an activity where it was more around trying to find a pattern within a game, which I gave them to do. And that kid who was a class clown was the one who solved it.
Wow.
Only one who solved an entire class. And from that point, he showed his classmates how to solve it. So I think, once again, engaging them based on what they know and enjoy, you can really see the kids unlock potentials. I think all kids are very smart, right? It's all about how we try to help them really, I guess, reach their highest potential in life and not say, because you can't sit still in class, that means you're dumb. I don't believe that. This means that they're not engaged. They're bored.
Exactly. We've got to tap into that potential. So tell us maybe one or two lessons that you've learned about being an entrepreneur. I know it's not for everybody, but certainly it's something that you've decided that you're going to put a stake down and try to make this happen and make it work for you.
Yeah, I would say, I mean, there is the stat that says that 9 out of 10 startup companies fail. And I've always wondered why that is. And there's lots of data around the fact that about 40% fail because they don't find product market fit.
Yes.
Meaning that they build something, but customers don't want it or don't need it. And so a lesson which I've learned is that you have to go from idea to customer to product to brand.
Yes. Right?
So you have an idea, you confirm that certain customers want that, you figure out what within the idea they really want and what they will pay for and what gives them value. And then you build something based on that, because once you build that, you have customers who are going to buy it, right? And then, of course, based on customer service, based on your product, you build a brand around that. I think many companies, entrepreneurs, fail because they go from idea to product, right? They build something, then brand, and make a website, a Facebook page, T-shirts, hats, all of that. And then they try from that point, say, okay, based on my brand, I will get customers. And they spend so much money and time within that product to brand cycle that they really, I mean, they many times fail to get those customers. I think you save lots of time and money just trying to make sure you have customers before you build something out.
And that's great advice, because far too often people aren't listening to the customer.
Mm-hmm.
We're listening to Chi Wogu on If You Only Knew with Dr. Debbie Stroman on 97.9 The Hill. You're listening to If You Only Knew with Dr. Debbie Stroman. Chi, tell us more about you, and if there is any particular sport leader or person that people would be surprised to know that you greatly respect and admire.
Surprise is probably, I don't know if that's how I put it, but I think I'm a huge Becky Hammon fan. I grew up watching WNBA from day one. I was a New York Liberty fan.
Okay.
And Becky Hammon was one of my favorite players for Liberty. She also played for San Antonio for a little bit. But I think the way she's really taken her career and the way she's been a trailblazer while being very humble, I think that's amazing. I think her work speaks for itself. But at the same time, I think she is someone who's going to do great things in the NBA going forward. And so I'm happy that she's in San Antonio or Pop. I think that she'll be a head coach soon.
Yes, people are predicting she'll be the first woman.
Oh, yeah, and if she's not, it's a travesty.
Yes.
And it really reflects poorly on how I think sometimes we talk about gender equality and all these things, but actions speak louder than words. For example, Breonna Stewart, WNBA MVP and champion, playing overseas, tears her Achilles because she has to make money, right? And she has to use her talent to really maximize that window in life where she can make money. It's a shame that she could not do that in WNBA and then rest and recover and do what most athletes do, right?
That's right.
So I really think that Becky Hammon is someone who I think will continue to be a trailblazer. And I think her being so humble makes her someone who I could happily and easily support and admire.
Well, she's definitely a person that I followed as well. No doubt she's a serious baller.
Mm-hmm.
Remember?
Oh, yeah.
I mean,
she can play.
Yes, definitely a player. And now to see her, you know, having that opportunity to coach the best in the world,
yeah,
it's wonderful for her. So outside of sports,
mm-hmm,
whose job would you love to have?
Whose job would I love to have?
What would you be doing outside of sports?
Yeah, I think I would be working for HBO in some kind of way. I think HBO is one of the top companies out there, and they create great products. I mean, they've made some of the best TV shows that we've ever seen, The Wire, Sopranos, now Game of Thrones. I think they consistently produce great products. And so for me, I would love to be in a place where I can really see what shows are out there and figure out which ones fit the HBO brand and help them kind of build that out. I actually have a few friends who are now producing an HBO show coming up soon, really based around women of color. I think it just kind of shows that HBO is always willing to support people like that. They have a show called Insecure with Issa Rae, which was, I think most networks looked away at a show which is based around a black woman and her insecurities. HBO said, come along, let's do it. That's been an absolute hit for HBO. I think it's really brought them a new audience of people who are now exposed to what they do beyond Insecure. So I think I would definitely be an HBO employee if I was not working in sports.
But it's interesting that it's around creativity and the arts,
yeah,
which is similar to sports.
Mm-hmm.
Well, when it's all over and you're sitting in your rocking chair watching your favorite team play, and I imagine that would be some team from New York,
mm-hmm,
if you reflect back on your career, what do you want people to remember you for?
I think as someone who gave more than they received. That's always been my mindset. Just give as much as you can. And I think that's sometimes my greatest strength and my greatest weakness as well. Sometimes you give too much. Sometimes I have a tough time saying no. I just believe that if you're a giver, then good things will come to you naturally. And I talked before about energy and positive energy. I'm someone who believes in positive energy. And as long as I'm someone who's out there being a positive influence in people's lives, either in a small or large way, I think that's my legacy in life.
Well stated. Thank you for being a guest. I certainly appreciate all that you do, and especially the way you pour into young people. You're listening to If You Only Knew with Dr. Debbie Stroman on 97.9 The Hill.